joined this morning by photographers Diane Cook and Len Genschel about National Geographic's Night Vision, Magical Photographs of Life After Dark. What's the challenge of taking night photographs, either of you? What would be the most challenging part of that?
Well, it's interesting. When we started some of our night projects, we were using film, I'd say about 5-10 years ago. The first challenge was exposures that were like over an hour long, and I remember doing one exposure that took 6 hours. So you have to have incredible patience when you're out there working at night. Now, digital has cut those times tremendously, so now we're down to like civil times, like 20 minutes. To do one exposure. But you have problems like wind and what Diane and I call the dreaded dew point. So we might be in the middle of a long exposure into the wee hours of the night, and all of a sudden you look at your lens and it's covered with dew. So, you know, that exposure was ruined. You got to start all over again.
Wouldn't that sort of add something? I mean, sometimes elements give you things that you couldn't humanly do otherwise?
Yes, that's exactly right. You know, sometimes with the wind, you get an interesting blur that adds to a picture, or, you know, a little dew on the lens adds a kind of atmospheric fog that you wouldn't normally get. So, yeah, surprises are good.
Now, if you're taking pictures at night, do you have to worry about other things? Bugs, insects, creatures, just, you know, things that you might not see otherwise?
Well, we've donated a lot of blood to mosquitoes over the course of our working at night. And we don't work in, say, Africa, but a lot of our colleagues do, and I'm sure they have a lot of watchful guards on the lookout for hungry lions that might be interested in them as a midnight snack.
Let's talk about some of the photographs in there. What are some that you thought, wow, this really looks like this is something, or this is the one that needs to be on the cover? I mean, everybody thinks they probably have a photo that needs to be there, but talk a little bit about that.
Right. There's a photo I love by one of my colleagues of an aurora borealis in Iceland looking out at the beautiful night sky and the colors, and he's in an ice cave, and the actual colors of the sky are reflected off the ice on the inside of the cave. I mean, that one just takes my breath away. There's a photograph of fireflies in the forest at night that's just so magical and so mysterious. I think we love the strangeness of that things happen at night. Everything looks so strange. How about you, Diane?
I love, probably before even looking at this book, I didn't know that there was such a thing as bioluminescent termites. And, you know, here's this little mound, and the termites are glowing with an anteater in this beautiful landscape. It's just extraordinary what magic happens at night.
Some of these pictures look like paintings. Does that line blur now, in a sense, between what was, you know, photograph, real, as opposed to someone's imagination and, you know, creation that way?
Well, it's interesting that you use the word painting, because I think a lot of the photographers in this book have used a photographic technique called light painting. So they're bringing some, you know, flashlights or headlamps into the field when they're working and using color gels, and you can actually paint a subject with light. There's a picture of a Joshua tree that's kind of glowing green in this beautiful landscape, and the Milky Way over it, but you can see the photographers added some extra lighting to that, which gives it a very ethereal and painterly look.
So what Diane means by light painting is we have our flashlights, it's a long exposure, and we're out there lighting different things that might be dark, like trees or bushes, and we have been accused of, you cannot believe how many things when we're out there, saying, what the heck are those people doing out there?
Looking for UFOs, I suppose.
Yes, that's, sending signals to aliens in the night sky. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, as you mentioned, a lot of things we see here at night we don't expect to see, and it's, I guess in a sense, it's more of surreal because it's things that we as a human could not see with our naked eye. Is that true to say on some of these?
That's absolutely true. I mean, our human eye is composed of rods and cones, and the cones in the eye is what we use to perceive color. but we need a higher level of light for those cones to work properly. So at night when you're working, if it's a dim situation, you don't actually perceive all of the colors, but either your film or the digital, your sensor does. And so it's a, kind of a surprise sometimes to see what you have in your picture because your eye doesn't see it, but the camera does.
And I think that's why your notion about it looking like paintings is such a good point, because the color comes back, and it comes back in almost a richer, more strange way, and everything has that strange painterly effect sometimes, Bruce.
I'm looking at some of the other pictures that, you know, we think of sometimes when we have night vision pictures, nature, art, or whatever, but you can use, you know, human man-made structures, just places and people even in these images.
Right, and there's a beautiful image of just a pair of eyeglasses on a ledge looking out at a cityscape, and the photographer focused on the lenses, the background of the city is blurred, and it's, you know, taken within a building. So you don't even have to venture out into the night. You can actually photograph in your home. Sometimes the glow of a television screen or a computer monitor adds some interesting magic to a picture.
Right. When did your interest in photography begin for each of you?
I started working seriously around 1976. I hope that doesn't give away my age. And Diane and I started collaborating together as a team in 1991. So we've been at it for quite a while. I think we took our first night picture on a cross-country trip out west, and we were in one of the national parks. And we just set up a camera and say, it was almost pitch black. And I said, I wonder what would happen if we did like an hour exposure. And when, you know, we got home, we looked at our work, and I said, wow, that's incredible. Look how weird that looks. Weird and wonderful.
You mentioned photography as a collaboration. I always think sometimes photographers are sort of, you know, solo. It's the person and their camera, and they go out. But how does a collaboration work in a art form like this?
Well, for us, we do each have individual cameras and lenses when we go out to work, and sometimes we'll go our separate ways. But often at night, we're setting up our tripods and looking at each other's, the back of each other's cameras, and discussing a frame, what could make a picture better, do we have the right exposure, is it the right, all the elements lining up the way we want it to in a picture. So it's actually helpful to have an extra person with you at night, depending on which areas you're photographing in, to have another set of eyes looking out.
We haven't killed each other yet. I always defer to Diane. That's our secret for collaborating.
Who's responsible for bringing the water and the food, or at least the sustenance?
We have a whole checklist of what we need to bring with us when we go out to work. Definitely the, you know, tripod, cable release, and sometimes, you know, compasses for, you know, pointing to the North Star so you can get that twirl of star trails in the sky. There's a long list of things we bring with us, including warm clothing and insect repellent.
Is there a better season or a time during the night that you find you seem to get the golden pictures or the ones you really appreciate?
It can pretty much happen any time. You know, we love working at dusk per se, but certainly in the early parts of the evening, the moon is low in the sky, and it's creating a very eerie quality with long shadows, you know, but you can see in the book the diversity of the way people have photographed the darkness, how they interpret all that blackness is wonderful. As you said, there are cityscapes, there are people, there are animals, but for us, no, it can happen at any time. You know, we're open for the surprises and how things look, and we're always ready to pounce on the situation.
Well, we appreciate your patience and the time that you spend to get these photographs so we can now enjoy them. And again, the book is called Night Vision, Magical Photographs of Life After Dark. But over 200 images in this book for people to check out. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Totally our pleasure. Thank you.
And our guest today has been Diane Cook and Len Genschel, photographers, again for National Geographic.